1 Kings and chapter number 17. The title of this morning's message is this: Brooks don't brooks dry up, but God never fails. Brooks dry up, but God never fails. And I'll tell you, it's amazing all the things we can get just so sidetracked with, and we can get high-centered on, and we can get bothered by, and then it's almost like sometimes we just got to be reminded, oh yeah, God's still in control, right? God's still got everything under control. I remember as a little kid, my dad made, I mean, just things that, you know, stick in your mind that your parents say. And I know one of the things that my dad always said, just seemed like he, like every Sunday he'd say this, not really, but it seemed like, I just remember it. He'd say, did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God? And man, it's just never left my mind that God's not shocked, God's not surprised. I still get surprised by some things, and sometimes I just have to stop and go, man, I did not see that coming. I would not have expected God to move that way or to do things the way He's done them. But the reality is this: He's still in control, and it was all under His control. Every bit of it was under His control, and the reality is brooks do dry up, but God never fails. He never fails. And I want to just impress this upon your mind that listen, next time God might give you give something to you in your life that you go, man, I just can't believe that's the plan of God. That's how God's going to get glory. Yeah, it is how God is going to get glory, and He's going to use you to do it. Remember, though, it's Him that's going to get glory. And many times we get to a point where like, I don't see how I get any glory out of this. Well, you don't. Let me say this. I don't see how I get any glory out of this. You don't. God didn't intend that you did. But his end goal is that His Son would be glorified in and through you. And He can get glory in spite of any circumstance that shocks you or surprises you or catches you by surprise. Listen, you allow God to be God. And I'm telling you, God can receive glory in and through it. And so, as we look here in 1 Kings 17, verses 1 through 8, it says this in verse number 1. If you would stand with me in honor of the Word of God. We were here 2 weeks ago. We just touched on verse number 8, but or verse number 1 of chapter number 17. And so we'll talk a little bit more about then. But looking here at Elijah at the brook Cherith, it says this: And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth. And I wrote this in my Bible. And He does. Amen. And He does. Before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while, the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And look at verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, and he gave them some more instructions after the brook dried up. But we're going to look at this morning. Brooks dry up, but God never fails. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, we thank You so much for Your love. And Lord, I thank You that, Lord, I'm not the only one that can stand and testify, Lord, that there have been times when it seemed like we just didn't know where God was leading. But God, You've always led. And Lord, we didn't understand why You would lead the way You did, but you were able to make good come out of it. And so today, Lord, I pray that we would all be able to look at circumstances of life, and we'd be able to just claim the promise that, Lord, You make all things work together for good. And Lord, I pray that You help us to commit to ourselves that we're going to love You that we are going to love you and that we are going to walk according to your purposes in our life by faith. Lord, just trusting that God, you have all things under your control. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The first half of this year, we have been looking at and examining faith in a lot of different aspects and a lot of different ways and in many different Bible characters. And we understand to please or to see victory in the life of a Christian, it requires faith. It is a requirement that we would live a life by faith if we're going to see victory in our personal life. That's victory through our salvation, and that's also victory as we yield ourselves to obeying the commands of the Word of God. And we all need to be in that place, and then to please God. Just to simply to please God, we looked in Hebrews and we found out this, that it requires faith. In fact, it's impossible to please God if we do not have faith or we do not live our life by faith. And so we looked at different characters. We looked at Isaiah. We looked at Habakkuk. We looked at Jeremiah. And we've discovered this, that each and every one of those men, they had times where they had, we could call this, a lapse of faith, where they looked at circumstances and they went, Lord, how in the world are you going to do what you've promised you're going to do with the circumstances that we're living in today? And no doubt we can certainly look around and see that in our own world right now, that we would stop and go, my good, I know the back of the book says we win, praise the Lord, but there's many losses that are being taken. I mean, there's a lot of things that just aren't going the way that the Word of God that the child of God would want to see them going. There's a lot of things that are just going wrong in society and culture. And I praise the Lord that we don't live by faith of the culture. Amen. And we don't live by the faith of the United States of America. You're fastly seeing that fail, right? But we live by faith in God and of the Word of God. In fact, faith is, we've said this over and over, is simply taking God at His Word, reading the Word of God, and then just by faith saying, okay, God said it. That's the way it's going to happen. One person once said, and I know I've preached on this before, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. No, friend, listen, God said it, that settles it. That settles it. God said it. Have faith that God said it. That settles it. Whether you believe it or not, listen, has no bearing on the fact of the truth and the validity of the Word of God coming to pass, and God's Word will come to pass, and the things that you are burdened with today will work out for good if you'll love God and be called according to His purpose. So we continue to look here at my favorite Bible character, Elijah. When I was a kid, these were some of my favorite Bible stories in the Word of God. And he was called of God to minister in a very difficult time. Elijah was. And we talked about that a few weeks ago, the difficulties of the culture and the sin and the debauchery that was taking place under the rule of Ahab, who was sinning greater than any other king had ever sinned in the nation of Israel, and married a dandy of a wife named Jezebel, right? And it was a very difficult time. And the government just seemingly seemed to be against Elijah. In fact, as Elijah stood and spoke, he was actually speaking out against those who were leading and those who were in charge and those who were calling the shots. He was speaking out against a wicked, ungodly king. He was doing so. And he felt like he was all alone at times. We'll get to that in his story. And the people that he was ministering to, they were wishy-washy. I mean, they were serving God out of convenience. But when it was convenient to serve Baal, they served Baal too. I mean, they had no really allegiance to God at all. They were wishy-washy at best in what they were doing. And the judgment of God was on the land. The hand of God in judgment was against the land of Israel, and he was on the run. Elijah, as we get into the story, he's hiding. He didn't go up and deliver the message of God that rain was not going to fall. And then everybody said, oh man, we need to repent and turn to God. No, he had to go hide out. And he had to go and to be on the lam, so to speak, because Ahab was not going to be pleased. And it might have seemed like a funny joke at the beginning of this pronunciation of prophecy that Elijah gives about the rain not falling. But after a few years, And that's what he said. It's not going to fall these many years until, but by my word, listen, after a little bit of time and the crops fail for lack of water and animals begin to die for lack of food and water and people begin to starve, they're going to begin to get to the realization that God must be in charge. And listen, he must be in charge in your life. God needs to be the one who's in charge. He does need to be. And you need to make that so. So Elijah goes to Ahab, the wicked, idolatrous king, and just informs him that God's not pleased with his worship of Baal and his debauchery, his idolatry. And listen, he's not well received. Elijah has informed Ahab that God still thinks he's God, Ahab. And while you might want to serve your God Baal, and you might want to get in all the sin that's involved in serving this God Baal, listen, God has not ceased to be in control. God has not yielded his powers to you or to anyone. God is the giver and the provider, not Baal. In fact, we're going to get to a showdown between the prophets of Baal and the prophet Elijah. And we're going to find out this, that the prophet of Baal, listen, has no power at all, but that which his followers were giving him and making up for themselves. Yeah. It was going to get devastating in the land of Israel. The crops, again, were going to be devastated. You might be aware of this. It takes water for things to grow. If you don't believe that, come by my house about end of July, and I can show you. See, this plant died because we didn't water it, and this plant died. That's a joke, all right? And we could probably find some at your house, too, right? It's always awesome to plant fresh, new, beautiful plants in your garden, and then watch them die. Right? I mean, that's just a blessing. That's what we do best at our house. Amen. But listen, it's going to be devastating. And I know around here it might be like, I mean drought. I mean, what is that about? Well, go over on the other side of the state for a day or two, and you can find out what dry heath and dust and sagebrush is all about. I got to grow up in the great state of Kansas, amen. And amen. There's always haters in every crowd, but when you win, that's what happens, you know. And but I got to grow up in Kansas, and listen, it wasn't like a passive thing for one of the old farmers that went to church to say, hey, pray, we're kind of dry, the crops are getting dry, and we need rain, and then pray that with the rain we don't get tornadoes and hail that are going to devastate the crops. And you say, well, why is that? Because their livelihoods were based upon it. And you're talking about a nation that if crops didn't come in, it's not like they, you know, just came up with food from some other source. They didn't have the immediate trade that we do now. Like, all right, we're just going to truck some in from another part of the world or the country and float it over here on the sea. Years worth of drought and a lost years of crops could have devastated that nation. It could have taken months, literally months, for them, even if they were able to source food and grains from another nation, another place, it could have taken literally months for them to actually get it to the people that were already in need. Could have taken that. And this drought was going to devastate the land. And it was going to do this. It was going to show Ahab and Israel just who was the true God. That was the point of what God is doing. He wanted them to understand that he is in control, and he was aware of what was going on, and he was capable of both giving and taking away. And we're going to see this in the story of Elijah and Ahab, that the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. We are going to find out that the Lord causes it to rain on the just and the unjust, and God, guess what? The Lord is also able to hold back the rain from both the just and the unjust. But here's the great truth about that, friend. Listen, Elijah, who was faithful and lived by faith, was provided for in the midst of such a drought where everyone else would have been dry and hungry and in famine. The problem was not God was inept and his inept ability to show himself mighty to Israel. That's not been the problem. It's not like we just finally got here and God has been so inept at showing Israel that he's in control and that he is powerful and that he has might. No, no, no. It's that they for themselves were not paying attention to what God had already shown the nation of Israel. Come on. It's that they themselves weren't going back and looking at what God did in the days of Moses and in the days where they wandered through the wilderness and in the days where they were brought out of Egypt. It's because their lack of faith in what God had done, that they had no faith that God could do anything in this day. It's not because God was inept. It's not because God had not shown it to them as a nation, but they had chosen not to follow in the ways of God. The problem was not that God was inept. Able, his lack of ability and his desire for Israel to know who he was. It was not that God had no desire for them to know his might, but that they ignored it. That was the problem. That they chose not to heed it. Therein lies the problem. Israel was had a complete lack of faith to obey God. And yet they found themselves ever willing to follow after man. And so God then sends his prophet, and we see the prophecy of the Lord here in verse number 1, that there was going to be no rain. Look at what it says. There shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And you say, okay, well, big deal. That's what Elijah had to say. But understand what came before that pronouncement is really what made the big difference. What came before? He's like, hey, there's not going to be a rain, but by my word. Well, so what? Whoop-de-doo. Who are you, Elijah, to threaten us with such things? Well, here's who he was. Look at what it says right before that. It says, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall be no rain these 3 years, but according to my word. Therein is the power. Not that Elijah just got up and spoke for himself, but it was that he was the mouthpiece of God standing before them, before God. Right, right. As he came to him, he had some good backup behind him. Right? As he came kind of to pick a fight with Ahab, and that's kind of what he was doing. It's not like he was just standing there all on his lonesome. God was right behind him. That's the point of before whom I stand. It's kind of like, I have a big brother. He's 7 years older than I am. And there's just some confidence, right? I could do anything if my brother was right behind me, right? I could be as cocky as I wanted if I had my big brother right there with me, right? And if I was out with Dad, that was even better, right? Before whom I stand. It was God who was in control. It was God who was overseeing this. And Elijah is saying, listen, as the Lord God liveth, and let's guess what, Ahab? He does live. You're living as if he doesn't. You're acting as if he doesn't. You're acting as if the glory of Israel and the blessing of Israel and the things that you're receiving and being provided and the crops and the lands, you're acting as if those are all at the hand of Baal. It bears into this just a little bit where Elijah was from, the land of Gilead. And if you look in the book of Numbers, you find out that the land of Gilead, in Numbers chapter 32, was a land of cattle. That's what Gilead was. That's where Elijah came from, was a land where it was full of cattle and fruitful with cattle. Guess what it requires for cattle to live? Crops, water. Those are things you require if you're going to have herds. And so here's this guy that's coming from a place to where the king's meat could have been coming from, where his provision was going to come from. And so listen, there's not going to be rain that's going to fall. Therefore, things are going to get a little more difficult for you. And the fatted calf isn't going to be so fatted anymore, Ahab. And things are going to get tight. And guess what? God's still alive. He's still on the throne. He has not ceased to be God, and it is the Lord from before whom I stand. And you might want to start taking heed just a little bit, Ahab. He is alive. We live in a day and time. Listen, we live in a day and time where people have rejected absolute truth for subjective truth. They've rejected absolute truth for subjective truth. This is what Ahab had rejected. Ahab had rejected God, the God who was in control of all and is the giver of all and the God who is the owner of all. He had rejected God from being in his life, and he had picked up the subjective truth that he called Baal, and he said, listen, Baal's the one that's in charge. Baal's the one that's doing things around here. Baal's the one that's getting these things accomplished for us, and Baal's the one who we ought to be serving. And listen to me, that might have been a truth that worked for him. Do you hear me? That's a subjective truth. That's what subjective truth is. It's when I adopt a truth that works for me and that I think, man, I think that this sounds really good. And I think that this is the way we ought to live. I think this is the things I need to be doing and the things I need to be living for and the things I need to be giving my life to. That is subjective truth. It is truth that is true to you. It does not at all mean that it is absolute. There's a difference there. No, there's a difference there, friend. And while we might live in, listen, while Israel had gotten themselves to a place to where they were just completely befuddled at the reality of, well, is Ahab right? Is Baal God or is Jehovah God? We have no idea what's going on here. We have no concept of who really is the true God. And that's going to get settled here in the next couple of chapters, friend. But listen to me, Ahab's subjective truth that he was subjecting on all the nation of Israel, and that sadly many were eating it up and many were just going along right along with the wicked worship of Baal. Friend, listen to me. It had nothing to do with the reality and the absolute truth that God liveth and reigneth and abideth forever. It had nothing to do with that truth. And we live in such a day today where people are grabbing subjective truth that is true only to them. And they're demanding that everyone, listen, everyone needs to accept the truth that I've accepted for me. Nobody can say anything against it. If you do, you're a horrible, wicked, awful person to claim that men are men and girls are girls. You say, we keep going over this all the time. Because, listen, you can't turn on your TV without getting this shoved down your throat. We need to wake up to the reality of this, that God, listen, is still God. He still liveth. He still reigneth. And it is an absolute truth that God created he, male and female, created he them. And there is, I'm telling you, friend, whether we want to live it in our personal lives, whether we want to act like it in our personal lives, God made male and female differently. He absolutely did. That doesn't mean you're saying that men are better than women. Didn't say that at all. I married me a woman on purpose. Because I'm telling you, I looked at her and went, wow. And I was impressed. And I thought, man, that's who I want hanging out with me. And I did that as rejecting all others. Right. Listen, amen. Especially men. I'm telling you, I don't get it. I don't, I'm telling you, if I had an opportunity, listen, you can go away for the weekend with your wife. Okay, that's one option. You can go away for the weekend. Not shower. Live in a tent with your gun and your buddies. That's option number two. I'm picking her every time, and I don't, for the life of me, I don't get the other option. I'm like, why is this even an option? Why, who chose that? You know, I don't even get that at all. And if you get that, good for you. I'm just saying, I'd rather be with my wife. Amen. Listen, we go on and on. This world is full of people who have subjective truth that they're demanding that everybody comes to the reality that this is my truth, therefore it is authoritative, and this is my truth, and therefore it's absolute. And friend, here's the truth, is your subjective truth is never, ever, ever absolute truth. It might be absolute for you, but it has no bearing on what is truly absolute. That's right. Doesn't. And the prophecy of the Lord has come. And listen to me. It is absolute that rain was not going to fall on the nation of Israel until Elijah said so, or until God told Elijah it was going to say so. Because listen to me, God still liveth. And the government can make whatever laws and rules it wants. But friend, listen to me. Boys and girls are always going to be Boys and girls, I don't care what sports they compete in. I don't care what surgeries the government allows. I don't care what hormone medication they might take. Listen to me, friend. God is still alive.
Yeah.
Still is. Still love to go down to the city of Seattle. Still love to go down to Pike's Place Market. And the reason I like to go down there is not because I just enjoy watching the people down there for sure. But friend, listen to me. Go on down to the most openly gay city in the United States of America and walk into the restrooms. I mean, an enlightening experience. And there must have been some Baptist preacher that designed the bathrooms for the city of Seattle down at Pike's Place Market. I mean, obviously it was just this lunatic Baptist preacher that went to the city of Seattle and demanded that the subway tile and the restrooms at Pike Place Market in the central most, one of the most iconic places in the most openly gay city in the United States of America, and said, listen, I want the male bathroom denoted by the silhouette of a man wearing pants. And I want the female restroom denoted by the silhouette of a lady wearing a dress. And just in case anybody is confused about which one is which, I want the chromosome. No, I'm not joking at all. I'm not joking at all. You got to go check it out for yourself. The most openly gay city in America, on the floors of the bathrooms in their city, has put male chromosome XY and female chromosome XX all over the floor of their bathroom, declaring that men and women are different down to the very chromosomes that make up their existence. And yet, I'm the weirdo. Because I was like, well, I mean, we just have this absolute thing called the Word of God that was been given to us that we would say, you know, that God created male and female. I'm strange, weird, and bigoted because I designed their bathrooms, apparently. Come on. Friend, listen to me. God is still alive. He is still in control. And it doesn't matter what subjective truth Ahab or anyone since has come up with. It does not negate the truth of the Word of God. And today we stand, listen, we need to come to this realization that we are going to stand before a God with whom we have to do, and all things will be open and naked before Him, friend. And you need to come to this conclusion that He is alive. He's in control. Do not ignore the prophecy of God. Don't ignore it. Don't think like you can live your life ignoring the Word of God, ignoring the truth of the Word of God, just coming to the conclusion that, well, that doesn't work for me. That kind of religion doesn't work for me. That truth doesn't work for me. That philosophy doesn't work for me. That biblical principle, it does not work for me. Do not think that you're going to stand before God and just act like, well, it didn't work for me, therefore I did it my own way, and God's just going to be like, well, great. Now, for one second, should you ever get to the point when you cannot tell me, I read the Word of God, I've come to this conclusion, I can do it my own way. You didn't read the same Word of God I read, friend. I mean, from cover to cover, from Old Testament to the New Testament, from before the law, under the law, after the law, under grace, and you're not going to come away with this. We just live it up and do it however we want. Come back tonight. In fact, 1 Corinthians in chapter 14 ends with the reality that no, you don't. You better do it decently and in order. Well, who gets to set the order and who gets to say what's decent and what's not? God! God does. And the prophecy came from the Lord, not from, it wasn't Elijah that just stood up and said, I got a great idea. I love being an antagonist. I love getting under the skin of world leaders. I want to go stick it to Ahab. I want to be on the run for the rest of my life. No. He was before the Lord, and he was the mouthpiece of the Lord, and he spoke, thus saith the Lord. You can live as if he does not exist, but friend, listen, God still liveth. God still liveth. We can move on now. So God says to Elijah, good job, son. Now look at verse number 3. It's time to go hide. Way to go. Deliver the message that I've given to you. Now it is time. Get thee hence. Turn thee eastward. Hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. It is time to go and to hide. You say, well, why did he need to go hide? Well, look over in chapter number 18, and we're going to look at this again, but look at chapter 18 and verse number 10. And it says this. This is Obadiah speaking to him, another prophet, another man of God. But he says this: as the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said he is not here, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. It was time to hide. You say, well, I wonder why Ahab was looking for him. Because there was no rain. Because that meant the food was diminishing. The crops were dying. People were hungry. Therefore, they were complaining. And guess whose fault it was? It was Ahab's fault. And guess whose fault Ahab thought it was? Elijah's. And if we could do away with Elijah, then we could do away with this drought. If we could do away with Elijah, then we'd have rain. No, no, no. It was far bigger than Elijah. God was at work here. God was completely at work here. And we see that there was the protection of the Lord that was on this man Elijah, that God had brought Elijah here for his own good. Think about that. We're going to go out to the brook. Obviously, a rather remote place. Here he was, that Ahab was looking all through the nation of Israel. He went out to the surrounding countries, Syria, Judah. He went to the surrounding nations and apparently was looking for him and taking an oath. That means that he was making them promise that they're not hiding him out. He was not happy about this pronouncement that Elijah had made, and he was seeking him out. But God had brought him to a remote place and to a safe place and to a hiding place for his own good and protection. There isn't a safer place to be in the world than in the will of God. There is not a safer place to be in the world than in the will of God. And this wasn't a demotion for Elijah. This was a, this was protection for Elijah. You say, well, wait a second. One day he's speaking before kings, and the next day he's all alone in a remote place, so remote that not even the greatest scouts in all the lands around him could find where he is. Some people look at that and go, man, I've been demoted. I've been put down. This isn't as grand a place and as where I was yesterday. But listen, God was bringing him to a safer place than where he was yesterday. Because where he was yesterday, friend, listen to me, we could have ended the story of Elijah in verse number one, where he was yesterday. If he looked at God and said, I'm not leaving the capital. I'm not leaving the presence of kings to go and hide out on the brook Cherith. No, no, no. God says, listen, it's time to go hide, and I've got it all taken care of, and I've got protection. I've got safety for you, but you're going to have to do it my way. And you're going to have to go where I tell you to go, and you're going to have to eat what I tell you to eat, and you're going to have to drink what I tell you to drink. I'm telling you, if you got the word that, listen, God's going to provide for you. And so that means that God is going to bring you bread and meat at the talons of ravens. Delicious. Come on. Think about it. Delicious. I mean, the only good thing I can think of in this whole scenario of going by the brook Cherith is that, well, at least there's a drought and everything around him is dry. And that means he's going to be able to make fire and have some good barbecue, maybe. Day after day. We don't even know. We don't know how long this was, but it obviously was more than a season. Do you hear me? It was obviously more than a season. Because it came to the point to where they had bread and meat every day, killed by ravens, brought to him. Might even have been dead carcasses, meat from other dead animals. I'm not trying to be gross. Ravens are scavengers. Could have been the cattle that were dying in Gilead, that they were taking portions of that dead meat, bring it over. I mean, I'm telling you, it wasn't like, man, the freshest beef you've ever had and aged 21 days and in our special. No, 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 no. We have garlic butter and blue cheese. You can put it on your steak. It's not what we're talking about. It's not what we're talking about. There's no telling where this meat came from. I mean, that's what I said. I mean, the only good thing I can think about is he got it. I mean, there would have been plenty of dry wood around for him to cook the bugs and worms and whatever else was crawling in and out of there. And God brought him to this place. I mean, God couldn't have brought him to a better place to hide. Here's a good thing about the place God brought him. Nobody but God knew where he was. I'll tell you, that's not enough for a lot of people. Think about that. That's not enough for a lot of people. We need position. We need accolades. We need people to notice us. We need people to know who we are. And listen, the only place who knew, the only person that knew who where Jeremiah was, or Jeremiah, where Elijah was God. And apparently, Elijah was content with that. If nobody ever knew who you were, right? But you were in the will of God. Is that enough for you? If nobody calls and says, listen, we want you to come and tell us the secret of your success. Come tell us how these things... I mean, if nobody ever like acknowledged you, you were just in your place where God told you to be, and you were watching God provide... And it wasn't the Ritz-Carlton. But you knew God was in that place and you were with God. Is that enough? Is that enough to keep you in the one place where those who would do you the greatest hurt and the greatest harm, we're never going to find you? Is that enough to keep you staying right there? And so we see that the protection of the Lord, I'm telling you, was great. In the life of Elijah. Teenager, listen to me. You say, I'm just, all the rules, all the regulations, all the strictness and the restriction of mom and dad. I'm telling you, listen up. There's many a people that sit around with regret and burden and listen, and have harmed and destroyed their lives because they were sick and tired of all the restrictions, and they wanted to be in the limelight, and they wanted people to know who they were, and they were going to shine the brightest. And I'm telling you, Elijah would have lost his head if he would have stayed in the spotlight and stayed. I'm going to stand right here in front of Ahab, and I'm going to just be bold, and I'm going to be known, and everybody in Israel is going to know who I am. No. He was hiding on the brook Cherith. Why? Because God was protecting him. And don't ever look at the rules and the leading and the guiding that God gives your mom and dad and go, man, I just hate that. I can't wait to get out from under these. No. God is protecting you. God is protecting you. And there's not one thing that I submitted to my parents when I was growing up. There's not one time I submitted to them and I just said, okay, I don't agree. I don't like this. I mean, there's been many a times I was like that, but there was not one time when I submitted to my parents. As I was growing up, that I don't look back today and go, man, I'm glad mom and dad saw some things I didn't see. And I'm telling you, Elijah, he might not have been in the greatest place eating the greatest food in the world. I'm telling you, there were some things that God knew that Elijah didn't. And God had put him in a place of protection. God had put him there. Last this morning, and we'll be done. We got 5 more minutes, so just hang on. We see the provision of the Lord. And we've already kind of talked about it quite a bit, actually. Down by the brook, there's water to drink. There's going to be food to eat. It's remote. But listen, it's a drought. It's a drought everywhere else. And listen, God sent you to the brook. And God knew how he would provide for you already. And you knew there was provision there. And God knew. And listen, God also knew this. God knew the brook was going to dry up. He knew that. And come on, I mean, Elijah's not a little kid either. I mean, I think he would have been of the understanding that it's a drought, right? And there's no rain. And he understood that this brook was going to dry up as well. But he stayed there until God said, listen, now it's time to move. Verse number 8. The brook dried up. And God said, now that the brook's dried up, We're going to go somewhere else and I'm going to provide for you there. Elijah, you've been obedient. You've been faithful. We're going to go from this brook and we're going to go somewhere else. But listen to me. Even though brooks dry up, God's provision does not run out. It didn't. And it wouldn't. And we're going to look at it again next week, Lord willing, that listen, God can take bad circumstances and friend, He can provide in them and He can take care of you. Each and every one of us, we have to learn to trust God for the next step of life. Well, why do I need to learn to trust God? Because God knows how to provide for the next step of life. He does. He absolutely does. And there are different steps you take in life. I mean, at one time, I had me to worry about. I mean, just me. And then I had to take a few steps. I had to learn that, all right, now I'm married. I'm supposed to not worry about me anymore. I'm supposed to worry about her. And then we had kids, right? Amen. We had children together. We did it together. And then we have to worry about them. And now they're growing up and we're worrying about their futures as well as our future. And listen, there's different steps that we take in life. And here's the reality that no matter what step God directs you to take, He's already has a plan to provide for it. I don't care if it's high school, college, marriage, career, having the family grow, whatever it might be. God, listen, if we'll follow Him and be obedient to Him, listen, already has provision for what He's determined the next step to be. But listen, you and I, when we get out of step with God, and you and I, listen, we wonder, what's God going to do tomorrow? No. God says, listen, you're going to be by the brook today, and you're just going to stay there, hang out. I've got you taken care of. And guess what? Tomorrow, this is what we're going to do. We're going to get up and we're going to go over to the widow's house. That's tomorrow, though. Today, we're here. And guess what? As long as Elijah was obedient to stay where God had told him to stay, the provision of God was there. And if Elijah said, no, I'm comfortable here. I've been fine here. I don't feel like moving. This is a safe spot, obviously. Why would we move, God? Guess what? There was no more provision there. As you and I trust God, live in obedience to God, we ought to trust God for the next step in life. If you're not living in obedience to God, then you need to get there before you ever even make a decision. But if you've been obedient to God and you've done what God's told you to do, then friend, listen, you should have all assurity under heaven that God has the provision for whatever's next. It's not a matter of, is God going to provide? God's more than capable of providing. Elijah, are you going to be obedient? Stay by the brook. Elijah, the brook's dried up, but guess what? You need to go over to this little widow's house. I'm going to show you where it is. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to direct you. I'm going to tell you what to say, and God's going to do this. He's going to provide for you there as well. If we're willing to be obedient to what God's told us to do, God is always a God that provides. Friend, brooks dry up. Yep. And God God will make changes in life. But if you're walking in obedience to Him, God always provides for the changes that He makes as He guides you in the way. Brooks dry up, friend, but God never fails. Never fails. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.